Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 2nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 61, the second paragraph that begins with, "Our actor is self-centered, egocentric." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Naomi B., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Joanne L., will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Kathy S., Dion R., Shelley E., M.O.H. The share ID for Tuesday, June 1st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,052. That's 17052. This morning's Wednesday, June 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 17,061. That's 17061. Our newcomer greeter today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Naomi B. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Naomi.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. The 12 steps. 1, we admit that we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his knowledge, his will for us, and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. And Joanne L., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. And Kathleen, thank you for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 61, the second paragraph that begins with "Our actor is self-centered, egocentric." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Kathy S. If you could get us started, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric, as people like to call it nowadays. He is like the retired businessman who lolls in the Florida sunshine in the winter, complaining of the sad state of the nation. The minister who sighs over the sins of the 20th century. Politicians and reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave. The outlaw safecracker who thinks society has wronged him, and the alcoholic who has lost all and is locked up. Whatever our protestations, are not most of us concerned with ourselves, our resentments, or our self-pity? Can I relate to this paragraph? Yes, it totally describes me. Especially thinking, and I never saw it as self-centered. I just thought, yeah, I wanted to blame everything outside of me for my problems. And what I can totally relate to is the arrogance of the retired businessman who thinks he knows best. Complaining, the very word complaining, just disagreeing with God and the way things are. Who am I to even go there? The minister sighing over the sins of the 20th century, just looking at everything everybody else is doing rather than looking at himself or ourselves. And the outlaw safecracker who just believes that, you know, I'm doing what I have to do because everybody else treated me so poorly. I wanted to blame my parents, my husband, my kids. Just my life in general. I just kept looking to external things to explain why I was so unhappy. And what I have learned through working the steps and in this program is it's all the answers as well as the issues. Everything's inside of me. God has really showed me through, especially in the fourth and fifth step and continuing to do so in the 10th step, of where I'm self-seeking, where I'm getting my sense of value from other people's behavior, or my sense of security from money and approval and things like that. And it's just all I'm ever concerned about is me. And so anytime I'm disturbed, what I'm realizing is it's because of a perception that I have. It's because I'm not trusting God, that God is everything I need and that I have it. It's all here. I have everything I need to be happy and content and to be fulfilled. It doesn't come from without. It's all from within. And I don't know. It's just such a change in perspective that I'm always returned to after doing a 10th step. And it is, I don't know. I'm starting to lose my train of thought, and which is just reminding me that it's time to be quiet. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Kathy S. from Georgia. Okay, we're on page 61, the second paragraph. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph, and although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Irene B.
Irene B.
Evan R.
Evan R.
Yvonne C.
Yvonne C.
Deanna.
Deanna R. Anyone else?
Hannah B.
Okay. What was the first name?
Hannah B.
Hannah B. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. So I have Irene B., Evan R., Yvonne C., Dion R., and Hannah B. So go ahead, please, Irene B.
Did you call for me already? This is Irene.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I will start by saying I'm not entitled and I don't get to judge. I think that's, for me, pretty important to say. Now, in thinking back, we've come across the concept that a good motive can be selfish too when there's an ulterior motive. So it's like, oh gosh, I can't win. If a good motive can be selfish and I don't want to be selfish, I just can't win. And I'll exhaust myself into trying to figure it all out because I need to be a good girl. Above all, I just need to be a good girl. I need to be perfect. So since I'm not perfect, for whatever reason, multiple reasons, I've gone through life pushing down feelings, and a lot of those feelings come from unresolved, unfelt pain coming from childhood trauma, which when combined with life difficulties, because life is life, and then compounded exponentially with core irrational beliefs, cognitive distortions, faulty, inaccurate thinking, well, that led to quite a bit of human emotion. And I try to cope with that with disassociation via food, disassociation via fantasizing, TV, daydreaming, you name it. Disassociation to avoid emotion. And that just left me totally disconnected from me. And as my disease progressed, I experienced my emotions only as a frantic need to binge and purge. And to this day, I sometimes feel the need to soothe myself with my abstinent foods. Danger! Not realizing that something happened which triggered a bunch of emotions. Emotion which sometimes I still don't feel, and that I simply experience as a desire to soothe myself, to soothe my anxious little girl inside of me. And of course, I'm egocentric and self-centered. I have to accept that. Now, I think I'm a very good person with a loving, kind, compassionate heart.
I have a heart full of good intentions. And learning that in reality I'm selfish, self-seeking, and self-centered was very difficult. But program is teaching me to accept my humanity, because I don't ever rise above the level of human. And for quite some time, I've loved pages 60 through 62. But I, until yesterday, did not make the connection that me running the show means that I'm not practicing the steps. Because me running the show means I'm not practicing step three. Because in step three, we turn our will to the care of God. And every time I try to run the show, I'm still out of step work, because it doesn't matter what my good intentions are, I'm still trying to run the show. And that just never has to work. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. in Louisiana. And Evan R., you're up, followed by Yvonne C. Go ahead, please, Evan.
Hey, Evan R. here. Recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California, right outside L.A. Grateful to share. I was thinking, this is kind of an aside, but it was, I used to sit in meetings and been like, oh, here's that one guy or girl who's always talking about the big book. I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. And it's funny because in that thought, it kind of encompasses what was resonating with me with this part of the book is, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, and I kind of equate it to school, like, oh, here's a person who actually did what they were supposed to do and studied. And I'm thinking that's their fault, but really that's just me being egocentric, as someone said. That's me being self-centered, thinking I know the answers, and I'm building resentment against people who actually know what they're talking about. And I look at it now, and since this meeting and since my, I guess call it, reformed recovery with the big book, I've really just started to study the literature. And, you know, I'm looking at myself, and this is a hard spot for me, or was, because it's like, you know, I'm the root cause of my problems. And that was a heavy blow, because I thought the cause of my problems was my behaviors. But I look at, you know, it's the helpless state of mind and body that was causing those behaviors. And I thought the solution was to fix my food and get on my diet plan and be able to do my workouts. But really the solution is, you know, the steps and having a spiritual connection. And it says, you know, the solution to all our problems is spiritual principles. And I thought the solution to my problems was following my diet plan and like trying to get that body confidence that was always elusive and still to this day I'm working to get. But, you know, this part about the people, and this is kind of where I'll end, is, you know, to me the world's a very negative place, and a lot of people are represented by these negative thoughts and behaviors, and it's easy for me to get caught up in those sometimes, but not anymore like caught up believing them, caught up trying to change them. And it's like, hey, you know what? All I can do is carry the message through my actions. I don't necessarily have to confront and go forth and try to vehemently express myself towards people who are super negative. So I'm just kind of like, all right, I got to live me, do me, and people will be attracted to that. And the people I find that are attracted to that are the ones that want to get the message. So thank you for letting me share. That's it. Bye.
Thank you, Evan R. in California. And Yvonne C., good morning. You're up, followed by Dion R.
I'm sorry, I didn't unmute. Thank you so very much for your service for this meeting, and for for all of you and your sharing and sharing your truth. I am so grateful for this program. I just came off a relapse, and this is timed so perfect to. Because, of course, I'm asking myself why the insane thing, if I'm trying to work the steps and I'm in this program, and the bottom line was me and my self-centeredness, my perception of going back out into the world and looking for the answers instead of going to God and surrendering, of taking back my will and my distorted perceptions of things and looking to control again and do it my way, or blaming other things, or feeling sorry for myself. It all wraps up in the same thing of not looking to be responsible for my actions, my thinking, my contribution to sabotaging myself and sabotaging a program that can give me peace and serenity. It really underlines how I need to go within and not abandon the God that I'm trusting to help me get back on the road to serenity and peace and a life that's worth living, instead of choosing death and what I will do to myself if left to my own devices and my own self-centeredness and manipulation that I'm half the time I'm not even aware of. I'm not even seeing how manipulative or have ulterior motives to doing these things. And I have to go into a place where I can discern what is pure and what is good and look at my defects of character and work on them so that I will have the peace. Even that, if to be selfish in that way is the best and the healthiest way I can be, so I can work God's plan and my own in the world without being distorted by a world that is so distorted. If I could blame so many things on my problem, but it's me who takes that step to destroy myself and take away my peace and serenity that I can have by surrendering to God. But I want to thank all of you because it's this community and your sharing your truths that help me not feel alone and help me able to unravel all my defects of character and see them with more courage and work on them. So thank you so very much, all of you. God bless.
Perfect timing. Thanks, Yvonne C. And Dion R., you're up, followed by Hannah B. Good morning, Dion.
Yes. Hi, good morning, all. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and very grateful to be a part of the process. This is the actor, the self-centered, ego-centric. Oh, yes. I identify with it all. Didn't want to hear it when I came here. No, I don't want to hear it. The retired business person I am, that loves about, it doesn't work that way. But just being reminded just hearing the shares and being grateful, having gratitude, and how I thought things should work out my way. If it doesn't make sense in my brain, it doesn't make sense to, it shouldn't make sense to the rest of the world. I was that one, you know, and egocentric, right? If people would just do it all, we all get along, yada, yada, this would be perfect. No, it doesn't work that way. Someone said something, and it helped me the other day when something I was sharing about or thinking about. Hadn't even shared. I just heard her say, whatever it is, it's your fault. I'm like, excuse me. I'm thinking about that. That got my attention. I was like, whatever it is, it's your fault. Just say, it's my fault. Now, what I'm supposed to do is, like, but it makes sense to me because whatever is going on in my life that disturbs me, if I'm not applying these principles to it, then it becomes on me. Not the fact that I want to blame or shame myself, but the fact that I got a solution, get out of that pity pot, get out of that powerlessness, so you won't be in judgmental, or the opposite for me is delusional or denial. It's like, oh, that's not true. That's not yes, it is happening. You get that's why I have to work these steps to find out what HP, my God, wants me to do with whatever is put on my life plate today. You know what I mean? Not just food, but spiritual, mental, and physical. Anything that's put in front of me, if I wake up and when I wake up, I got to ask God, what am I supposed to learn from this and what do you want me to do? Because that's, like they say, the first thought is not on us. But after that, oh, well. So, yeah, it's my fault. And if I don't look at it that way, I know normal people don't. I have to stay looking at where's the solution? If not, yes. It's my problem and my fault. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of the process. Newcomers, keep coming back because it really, really does work.
Thank you, Dion R. And before I take you, Hannah, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 61, the second paragraph. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric, and I'll be taking some more names after Hannah. So go ahead, please, Hannah B.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you guys for being here. You guys are my people. You are my fellows. I was in 12-step for a long time before I came into OA, and this is where I really, really found my people and feel deeply connected with all of you. I am not the actor. I can understand that, but I can still become the actor very easily. And, you know, what it brings up for me when I listen today is that I am not the judge. I am not the judge. I didn't used to think I was a judgmental person because I had, you know, had a number of my character defects removed. And, you know, I felt like I had a good amount of love and compassion for others. So I therefore thought I was not judgmental. But when I dove deeper into this work, what I found was that I was full of judgment. Everything was a judgment. Everything was a judgment. I thought I needed your love and approval to be okay. That was a judgment. It all proceeded with a judgment. I thought that maybe, you know, you viewed me a certain way. That was my judgment. I thought you should view me a certain way. I thought this needed to go this way for this to be, for you know, a situation to look a certain way for me to be okay. And for everything to, you know, be well. And those were all my judgments. And the truth is I don't know. I don't know anything. And the more I acknowledge and recognize that I don't know, you know, the more freeing and liberating that place is, because then I can know that God does know. And that is, you know, getting grounded in a place of humility. And when I'm in a place of humility, you know, I can accept spiritual help. And when I accept spiritual help, I have God's power. And when I have God's power, I am whole, I am restored, and I am at peace. And that is where I want to stay, you know. And it really requires constant vigilance in this work and, you know, the program of action. And it's like by the time I get to step three, in order to have an effective step three, I have to know that I'm not the judge, and I have to be willing to trust that there is a God that and a power, you know, that that I am willing to trust. You know, I have to be willing to totally trust this power in order to have this be effective and to step out of that role. It's like, you know, I've put people in my step two, and I've kept myself in step two for so long, even when I didn't realize it. And to really acknowledge that and to be really, you know, humbled and just coming into this program was so, thank you, it was so deeply humbling and most, you know, powerful, really wonderful, beautiful experience that I've had in recovery. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Hannah B. in Tennessee. Okay, we're on page 61, the second paragraph. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric. Who else would like to comment on this paragraph who has not commented in the last 3 days?
Naomi B.
Loretta H.
Loretta H.
Sandy A.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Sandy A.
Sandy A. One more. I was on a roll there, you guys. Okay. I have Naomi B., Loretta H., Sandy A., Veronica B., and Sandy A. So go ahead, please, Naomi B. Good morning.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. This is still Naomi B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater outside Philadelphia. You know, I went back a little bit up at the top of page 61. It says, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. And then down here, what we read today about the actor, self-centered, egocentric. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking to myself, wow. And I did all those things. I absolutely did. First of all, running the show. Well, I was geared to do that because I had a daycare business here in my home. And I was responsible for six little ones. So I had to run the show. That never stopped after they went home. I have two lovely daughters and a husband, and I did the same thing. I did not know what I was doing. I really didn't. And then if they wouldn't, oh, my gosh, then I turned inward to myself. I was a horrible, wretched person, which, of course, led me right back into the food because that was my higher power, and that's where I got my solace from. And it's just, I can remember reading this for the first time. My first OA meeting was February 7th of 2011. And, you know, when I went in there, they handed me a big book. It's like, I don't have a problem with alcohol. It's food. It's not alcohol. But I remember reading this, and it was like, when I finally started to work in the steps properly through the big book and learned about the ego and learned about the director, it was like, oh, my gosh. That was more weight taken off my shoulders than God actually took physically off my body. It was huge. I didn't have to direct the show anymore. And I can remember that moment as like, wow, that's amazing. And that was just, it was love. It was absolute love for my higher power to me that it was like I was worth something. Because I didn't think I was. But I didn't know that self-hatred was a form of ego also. It was directed to me at one point from a very dear soul from this meeting, that even self-hatred is a form of ego because you're thinking of yourself. And from that point on, it was like, I'm enough. I'm enough. And as far as the actor, nope. I hung those cleats up. I'm done. So I'm still a teacher. I'm still responsible for little ones in a school setting. But, as far as running the show and my home life and everything, nope. I retired. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi B. in Chicago. And Loretta H., you're up, followed by Sandy A. Go ahead, Loretta.
Kathleen, thank you so much for your lead and everybody on this line who's saving my life. My name is Loretta H. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm graced with in a recovered state today of mind and body. And, oh, my God, confusion, even in my best moments. It asked that question at the end of this paragraph. And that was me. I was the architect of my own chaos. Because even in my best moments, and since I've been in program and used the structured steps to help me heal, because I actually, somebody talked about eating their soul, but because I go both ways, I'm compulsive overeater and anorexic, I was not only eating my soul, but I was eating my body. And thought that I was doing the right thing at the right time, and I was being a good girl, as other people have spoken about. But the only reason I was being anything was so that I wouldn't lose what I had, so that I would get what I want, or so that I wouldn't be found out. And with God's grace today, I know that that isn't how I can work this program with the principles. It isn't about me. It's about my higher power's corrective directive. And today, with God's grace, I don't shame, I don't complain, and I don't, but I do claim. I don't in any way try to blame anybody else or for whatever, because I know today, as it says on page 83, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. And I have to wake up every single day knowing that I am a compulsive overeater. And that equals that my life, not and my life is unmanageable, that my life is unmanageable. And then know I'm insane. And then now I have to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. So thy will be done. Thy will be one, O-N-E, and then thy will be one, and then I win at life. I am so grateful that today I have a structured solution to actually be in a life where I'm on a winning streak, and it's not because of me. It's because I work these steps. I work at 10 every day. I work at 11 every day. I work at 12. And sometimes right now I'm having to do another 4 on a couple issues. And so I work these steps from step 1 to 12 as hard as I can, and as somebody in this room says, like, my hair is on fire, because my hair is going to be on fire and my life is going to be on fire if I don't. And so today I have a structure for living, because I have the obsession of the mind and the allergy of the body, and I don't want to be stuck back in that fire pit anymore. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Loretta H. in North Carolina. And Sandy A., you're up, followed by Veronica B. Go ahead, Sandy.
Good morning. This is Sandy A., grateful compulsive overeater from southeastern Ohio. And when I was growing up, some of you may have heard this saying that when you point your finger at someone else, there's four pointing, or at least three pointing back at you. And there's a lot of truth in that. And I learned that through OA, that when I'm complaining or don't like a character defect in someone else, that's something I have within myself. And it took a lot of loving kindness from folks in meetings, from friends, to help me realize that. And that was the most graceful, loving thing that anyone could have done for me. And I, because of the meetings and the tools that we have, that keeps me accountable. It keeps me reminded of that, that I'm that politician, I'm that minister. You know, I'm the person who has those character defects, not necessarily the other person, and it's up to me to take responsibility for it and to, you know, change that, pray about it, and ask God to remove that character defect. So thank you for letting me share. Again, my name is Sandy A., and I'm from southeastern Ohio.
And thank you, Sandy A. from Ohio. Veronica B., good morning. You're up, followed by Sandy A.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And I woke up today. I made a commitment to myself and my recovery and my sponsor that I would share once a week to check in on vision. And, you know, I woke up this morning not wanting to do that, because I was in self. I was feeling sorry for myself. I'm a compulsive overeater, and my life's unmanageable. I ate and threw up for 15 years because I didn't know how to be okay in my feelings. And I have a mind that just wants to take me down every single time, you know. And so the program of OA, the steps, is helping me live and think differently. It's helping me live on a spiritual basis. And my problem is that I am self-centered, and I looked up the word self-centered. It means independent of outside forces or influences, self-sufficient, concerned solely with one's own desires, needs, or interests. Well, that's me. This is why I am in self-pity, because I only think about me when I'm not getting my way, when people aren't doing it the way I think you should be doing it. I get in a lot of pain. My feelings get hurt. You disrespect me, and I want to eat, or I want to treat you poorly, or I want to be mean to you, and that is selfish, and that is not living through God's will, right? And program has taught me, like, it doesn't matter how I feel, it matters what I do. I have to act my way into good living. So this I know to be true, and I'm working the steps again so that I can get a deeper connection with my loving God, so that I can continue to be free. And it's not easy, because my feelings will tell me differently, you know, so I have to just continue to lean into God more. And that I am safe and protected. It doesn't always feel like it, but I just have to trust the process and just keep taking the action towards God, keep taking the loving action. You know, I'm either taking actions towards the food, or I'm taking actions towards God, right? So I have to just keep taking the actions towards a loving God. And God is with me, deep within me. It's just blocked by, you know, my self-pityness, my selfishness. So I love this program. I love the freedom that I have today. And just because I don't feel good all the time doesn't mean I'm not, you know, I'm not working the program. It just means that this too shall pass. You know? So thank you so much.
And thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Sandy, before I take you, we're going to have time for a few more people after Sandy. So we're on page 61, the second paragraph. Our actor is self-centered, egocentric. You'd like to be ready to share after Sandy. So go ahead, please, Sandy A. Good morning. Sandy, star one to unmute, please. Okay, maybe we don't have Sandy. Okay, so who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Christian C.
Okay.
Marissa P.
Was that Marissa P?
Marissa, yes.
I didn't quite hear that.
Yes.
Was it
Marissa?
Marissa?
Marissa? Yes.
Okay.
Georgie.
Okay, and let's stop right there. Thank you. So I have Christian C, Marissa P, and Georgie. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, yeah, good morning. This is Christian, recovered available sponsor. But yeah, so this paragraph is showing us some examples of the type of thinking we might have if we are a chronic compulsive eater. So I remember reading these things, you know, the outlaw safecracker who thinks the world wronged him, people who are sitting around, you know, sighing about all the problems in the world, but not just kind of just complaining. And, you know, people who are locked up because of alcoholism, they're kind of drawing the connection that, you know, when we have these interpretations of the world, that we're really just focusing on, we think that the world should play by our rules. And when I read these, even the first few times, I thought that these were like, oh yeah, like why a safecracker shouldn't be wronged or be in trouble. That's what it kind of boils down to, is that we think other people should play by our rules, and we don't want to, you know, live life on life's terms necessarily. So, you know, it can seem like anything that gets in our way is inconvenient. But really, what they're showing us is that thinking is a product of an illness, where we're focused on, you know, resentment and self-pity and trying to get even, and that's part of our problem, is that we can't break out of this. And we keep feeling like we're being hurt, and then we look for comfort, or that's what I would do. And then I would look for food to feel better. And it was just a cycle over and over. But through the program, we can begin to see that our attitudes are sort of insane, that we're really, we're not really with it. You know, we're living in our own little world and trying to control everything and everyone. And that's just not how it goes. And better yet, is that the program helps us to be free so that we can do those things and we don't feel like we're losing something. And we don't feel like we're being, you know, forked over or given sort of on the stick. We actually can embrace and accept the way life is and feel good about it and not feel like food is going to help us, you know, deal with our problems. And that is the type of freedom this book is all about. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Christian C. And Marissa P., you're up, followed by George E. Go ahead, Marissa. Star one to unmute, Marissa.
Sorry about that. Yes, this is Marissa P. from Central California. Very grateful. Compulsive overeater. And as I read, our actor is self-centered, egocentric. I am very self-centered and egocentric. But thanks to this program, I have a 10-step. I have a 10-step that helps me turn away from me and my self-centeredness, which is not the solution, to higher power, who is the solution. It is an opportunity for me to turn over my prejudice and be open to higher power's will for me. His will is service to others and service to him. And my freedom consists in that, to be centered on him. He is the solution. He is my solution. Also, a 10-step is a very great gift for me because I realize that I'm human, that I am human. And God is perfect. Again, the solution is in higher power. It reminds me that I am no more, no less. And that is such a gift, such an immense gift. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Marissa P. in California. And go ahead, Georgie, you are up.
It's Georgie, covering compulsive eater in Ohio. Thank you so much for your service and this meeting. I think everybody is the director and the actor, hopefully not at the same time. I think even if God took away all my character defects, which of course would be me trying to play God again, I would still try to be the director sometimes. I think it's more about taking direction, you know. You know, this part of the book keeps using metaphors like, you know, new employer and, you know, it doesn't say putting down the bat, but it implies it. So to me, it's almost like the, well, you know, Bill was fascinated with, you know, physics and chemistry. And so I think of it like the three-body problem, you know, like we can predict, you know, what the moon and the earth are doing. But if you throw even a third planet into the equation, we can't even predict the motion anymore. And that's a certain unwillingness to let there be a vacuum, you know, something more than the vacuum between the actor and the director. I used to sit in a meeting with this guy and I don't know, he just, I don't know what it was that made him and his program attractive, but he said, you know, life is a dance, you know, sometimes you lead and sometimes you follow. And that's true because, you know, I want people to follow me once in a while. You know, I don't want to just be people's doormat, but I can be very overbearing and try to run the whole show. I don't know if that's lack of compassion or I like what was said about independence of outside forces. Because, you know, when the self starts acting selfishly, it's in a bubble. It doesn't even know that that's what it's doing. You know, the ego tries to exist by itself without those other bodies. You know, Freud called them the id and the superego. You know, instincts run riot. I mean, that's what my selfishness looks like. And I can get obsessed with anything, not just food. I've proved it to myself over and over and over again. Does that mean I have to put down every bat in the universe? Well, good luck with that one. So, you know, this journey is really about learning about self. In a healthy way, which was something I didn't know. growing up or even early in a program. So, you know, I keep trying to grow that spirituality, and hopefully I'm doing a better job now than I was 5 years ago. Thanks for letting me share, and thanks again for a good meeting.
And thank you, George E. Thank you so much, George E. from Ohio. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Great meeting. Truly loved all your shares this morning. Okay, so let's see. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dion R., would you please read page 164, A Vision for You?
Yes. Our book is, hi, I'm Dion R., again, recovered compulsive overeater. Excuse me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.